Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Albion Social. Back again with me, Alf, and my usual co-host, Ricky. How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Could have been better. Should have been better if a certain game went a little bit differently. The Baggies went away to the King Power. Tough place to go. Came away with a 2-1 loss. How'd you feel, man?
Happy about the performance, but it's just gutting. When you play that well and have three off the line, you always come away feeling a bit... But not cheated, but you should have had more.
Yeah. I mean, we should have. The chances we had. And like you say, you're getting three cleared off the line in one game by the same player. You got to think who's looking down on us and stopping that. Do you know what I mean? But I think the big thing is, like you say, the performance was a lot better, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a great performance from every player for me.
And I think we needed that coming off the back of Sunderland where people were starting to get a bit frustrated.
Because you needed just that pressure relief. And obviously it's not an easy place to go, whether, you know, Leicester were chucking it away and all that jazz. Yeah. It's never the easy place to go and kind of regain that.
Still the best squad in the league.
Yeah, easily.
Quite comfortably, yeah.
So. Easily.
But I think what it's done is, I think everyone now feels a bit more confident going in to Sheffield Wednesday. I think probably more confident than we would all be if we won but played terribly. Yeah. So I think then you'd think, but we're still kind of in that slump and Leicester are just on a bad run. Yeah. But now, because Leicester have gone on to batter Southampton, I think it's like, but we're actually a decent team.
Yeah. It's like we've just shook off those blues we was having for, you know, it must have been like 5, 6, 7 games. So it's not like a big slump, but it's also not a little blip. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was something that needed arresting pretty soon, especially with, you know, fingers crossed, the playoffs coming up. And it might be the perfect time to kind of get that ball rolling. Especially seeing as we're not secure yet. We're not in it yet. So we've still got to be at our game.
Yeah.
And hopefully things go right. We can kind of roll into the playoffs on a good bit of form, can't we?
Yeah, it's just, I think it'd be nice if we could beat Wednesday. So the last home game's like, you know, a relaxed atmosphere. Because imagine that last home game if we needed a win.
God.
I don't think it'd go down too well. So I think I don't actually think we can afford to go into that last game needing a win. Because, I think we'll be our own worst enemy.
I completely agree. I do not want to be sat in the Orphans next Saturday looking at Foot Marvin, hearing whispers. Oh, mate, I couldn't deal with it, man. I couldn't deal with it. So let's get the win on Saturday. But against Leicester, I think we were the better team in both halves. To be honest, I'd say Leicester had a few periods of superiority, which they're always going to have because they are a Premier League team.
Yeah.
But I feel like our chance creation was back. We was defending quite well. We dealt with Leicester's attack quite well. There's not a lot to come out of that game and grumble about, I would say.
Nah, it's just, I think they're too poor goals to concede, but just based off, you know, Bartley and Kipbrad have both been so good and they were sort of maybe asleep for both, which you don't really usually expect. But again, because you don't usually expect it and because it's not been a thing for the whole season, you sort of put it down to a one-off and just move past it.
Yeah, and you got to take into consideration the quality you're up against.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would bet on the fact that Leicester would have scored one way or another, do you know what I mean, against us.
Yeah.
So I think I do agree with you, both goals were poor. Both goals to me, as we were talking about, just were like down to the fact that Vardy and like a player like Dewsbury Hall, Ndidi can kind of get in between defenders. They've got that Premier League.
They're IQ. Always like attacking, like as well, like almost across as a front five.
Yeah.
So when you're defending in a back four, there's always going to be a spare man. And for some reason, we let that spare man be probably the striker best picking up space in the league. But
genius.
Yeah, it's just genius. We stuck to our principles of like defending space instead of like man marking someone, which with Vardy you probably do have to do.
Yeah.
And because of that, Furlong was on. Is it Mavida? He's the left winger. Yeah. So he just left a spare man, and then Vardy was in the middle.
Yeah, it's one of those. I think, yeah, you give Vardy those that kind of space, he'll punish you every day. It's one of those, isn't it? Obviously, it's a tough, like you say, with that kind of extra man constantly. And it just creates that uncertainty where you're like, who do I mark? Do I come back? Do I come forward?
Yeah.
And in the moment, it's hard to say, you know, who should I leave? Because someone's got to leave someone.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's one of those things. Obviously, it shouldn't. Yeah, we should have scored before their first goal, I think, with Johnston. It's a really good goal line clearance from Chowdhury. He's first. And then I think Johnston should have scored when he had a great run through Leicester's right-hand side. He just didn't get a lift on the shot.
No.
Which is quite unusual for him, and it is obviously being a clinical finisher. Obviously that changes the game, doesn't it, massively.
Yeah.
Which is like a shame. It's a shame it didn't go in, obviously. They go up the score and you kind of think, ah, that's it. Do you know what I mean? But I think we battled well as well. I think Envia, like the midfield, did well, like Envia did well.
Yeah.
Mowat, it was kind of going between Yakushlu right centre back and Yakushlu centre mid when it's
it was like we didn't seem to always be defending with a back five.
No.
And I think that it was in those moments that we weren't, where we sort of got caught out. Or like because when Townsend is going out and rushing out to a winger for no apparent reason, it leaves you with four left anyway. So it's still the exact same problem that you have even if you are defending in a five. But you need your winger to come back and help you in that situation, I think. And obviously that's not Mikey Johnson's strong point.
No, it's not. It's not. It isn't. It is a pretty big flaw, like we've said. Like I've said anyway about him. But then obviously if he's... It's always going to be the thing with Johnston, isn't it? Where if he's doing what he does up front, and obviously, like on another day, he's got two goals in the first, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's no problem. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like a Pereira situation, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Corbrand explained the reason we've been conceding more goals since January, didn't he, in an interview? I ain't sure if you saw it. But he was practically saying we switched to more attacking wingers with Johnston and Fellows. And to gain something like more threat in the final third, you probably have to give some up.
Yeah.
And that's what we've given up.
Yeah, it's like a natural thing, isn't it? And obviously it's not... It's like an unspoken thing where you kind of take that attacking, you know, the added attacking skill for... And I mean, the thing is, like a player like, say, like Phillips, who, you know, was in that left-sided role supporting the fullback, you kind of take it for granted what he's doing anyway, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not something you really notice. Like, you know, you're not sitting there going, oh, Phillips are doing great defensive work today.
Yeah.
But you do notice it when it's not being done. Do you know what I mean? So it's an odd one. Obviously, I wouldn't say much rather. It's horses for courses, isn't it? But you'd obviously rather the attacking tilt than kind of always thinking about the opposition.
Yeah. It's a lot better to watch as well, isn't it, really? We've actually, for a lot, say 80% of the game since January been exciting to watch, which could not be said before.
Yeah, it's a new thing for us,
yeah.
Yeah, well, what did you think about the three in midfield slash three at the back?
Yeah, well, we said on the last podcast, didn't we, that we thought Mvia might come in.
We did.
And I think he did really well, I think, for what it is. Like, it's a difficult game, isn't it, against Leicester? They've got a midfield of Dewsbury or was Winks playing and Ndidi.
Yeah.
So you've got that. And then I think at one point they brought on Dennis Pratt, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's like those are all midfielders that if Leicester didn't go up this season, they would all be in the Premier League next season.
Yeah.
So Mvia's coming in off the back of a season where he's barely played. Obviously, off to a bit of a ropey start with a penalty he gave away. But again, he played generally well in that game. And he's come in and he didn't look out of place. But none of them did. So I think you can't really... Can't complain about any of those performances. I don't think.
Yeah, it's a tough ask, kind of. Especially when Leicester, like we said, Leicester likes to come inside and play a lot of their football through the central areas and kind of isolate the wingers against their fullbacks. I feel like we did a bit of a job like Plymouth did, where we was kind of playing a five and then a four, but it was narrow.
Yeah.
And it had the ability to kind of spring up. I thought, and that's what we did well, and that's what clearly stifles Leicester. Obviously, Plymouth did it. And then that's the downfall is, like we said, just kind of those moments in the box, defending your box. And I mean, really, other than that, I don't. They haven't really had too many clear chances, have they?
Yeah, I can't. Nothing comes to mind, really.
So our letdown really is just those moments in the box.
Yeah, because when you're playing in that way, your defenders need to be completely switched on for 90 minutes. Mm. And that's a big ask. I know Kiprae's come on a lot this season, and I'm not saying he was at fault for the goals, but the general consensus around him was that he was good on the ball, you know, strong, but he had a tendency to switch off. That was always the idea of him before this season. So maybe in games where it has to be laser focused for 90 minutes, you know, there are going to be moments where he drops. Sort of same with Bartley, weren't it? Where he was sort of written off. He's come in, done really well this season. But again, when tasked with 90 minutes against a Premier League team, are there going to be moments where he just switch off for just a second and that's all it takes?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I feel silly saying it because I feel like he's the difference maker at every level in football. Do you know what I mean? You switch off in the box.
Yeah.
You're going to get punished, whoever you're playing against, wherever you're playing. So, but like you say, I think those situations where you are packing out the middle and you're basically saying to Leicester, get the ball wide and try and get the ball in the box and we'll deal with it. You've got to deal with it. Do you know what I mean? And that's, but it's annoying because most of the game we did, and then it's just like I say, it's just those moments.
I think I'd maybe have one complaint about the setup. It's a complaint I have a lot when we're playing against good teams, well, any team. We always bring all 10 players back. So even the striker is defending really deep. And Leicester's first goal was across from a centre-back. That centre-back's not on the edge of the box if we've got a striker around the halfway line. And I think it's a tiny thing, but I think maybe if we'd done that differently, goal doesn't happen.
It is true. It's something we do with set pieces as well, isn't it? Where we get everyone back in the box.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's just a preference of Carlos's, obviously. Yeah. Like you say, I think you would, most games, you'd benefit from that striker just pinning.
Yeah.
Their centre halves kind of back out of possession, especially when you're going with that 4-5-4, and kind of they're all right. Do you know what I mean? They're okay. They're compact.
9 players deep should be enough.
Yeah,
but like I do get it. Like you want the extra player there to block off passes into the middle. So that's like sort of the whole idea. But I just don't. I think if a team's centre-backs are pushing that high, you need to do something to stop it because you're bringing the player back to outnumber them, but you aren't outnumbering them because they're just pushing the extra player forward. So there's no point.
That's what I was going to say. I do understand the logic behind it, but it doesn't feel like it's ever been effective for us anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like, obviously it's hard to, you know, recollect a whole season off the top of your head, but I can't recall a moment where, you know, you sit there and think, yeah, the striker coming back is being effective today. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wonder why. Obviously, that's got to be the reason why. But like you said, surely it's beneficial in at least some games to just put a pin in their formation at the top.
Yeah.
So that they're kind of like tugging on that pin. Do you know what I mean? If they are pushing forward.
Yeah, because then even if they do push that extra man forward, I mean, how many times is a centre back going to put a ball that good into the box? Isn't it? I know Wout Faes is good on the ball, but he ain't that good. He's not a winger, is he? So even if he carries on pushing forward and you push the striker forward, you just put him in the space that Faes isn't in. And then you've probably got a clear run at goal, or at the very least a 1v1 against the other centre-back.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the other side of it as well, isn't it? Like, counter-attacking opportunities. You do limit yourself. There was moments in the first half where you can relieve the pressure, but then it's like Wallace is like, it's like 5-5.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, you're never going to get out like that, are you? Obviously, it did work out. I thought we got out really well. Just, you know, that said, there's a reason that we made those kind of chances pretty much the whole game. So, it's an interesting point. I will say that it is an interesting point. It's clearly, like I say, it must just be like Carlos. I wouldn't say he's stubborn, but he sticks to his principles, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's
clearly just something that...
It's clearly something that he's got reason to believe in as well, because we've seen that if something genuinely isn't working, like when we played Plymouth and we were playing everything in front of them and then we're just... Oh, no, sorry, Huddersfield. Got my relegation teams mixed up. Like, if something isn't working and there's something that can be changed to make us win the game, he will change it. Yeah. So there must be a reason that he does it. And obviously, I'd imagine he knows a lot more about football than us two combined. So,
well, you speak for yourself there, mate. But yeah, I mean, it was a weird game. Obviously, going from the first goal, felt like a bit of a to and fro. Second half, we had some really good chances. Obviously, Grady's had a couple. Another two goal line clearances from Chaudhry. And then obviously we do, Vardy scores again. Vardy scores, sorry. And then we do get back into it. And yeah, Cedric Kipre, Maestro, ole ole. It was quite a pass, wasn't it, that?
Yeah. That might be the best pass we've seen all season.
Yeah.
From anyone. Yeah.
It was picture perfect. I just love how, obviously, our defenders kind of go into that three, don't they?
Yeah.
Where Kipre's like on the left, middle left. And he kind of gets the ball and he's like dead center, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's just like, he strides forward with it. He's looking up. Bosh.
Yeah.
Just a perfect ball. And like the ability to do that. Like I remember seeing that kind of ability when he had that that run of games under Val. And you could just see he had that level of passing ability in him. And I said, like, when he had that string of games, like, he's our best passer, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, since then, he's, you know, gone off to Cardiff and blah, blah, blah. Now he's our best player and now he's leaving, all that jazz. So it is, I think, Kipre, it's just incredible to have, in the Championship as well, to have a centre-back that can do that.
Yeah, I think he's really, I'm not sure if it's like a good run of form or it's just that he has genuinely improved, but I think if you look at it from the start of the season to now, it's so much more consistent. Where it's like, you know, at the start of the season, he'd try switch to play and he'd complete one, he'd put two out of play. But now it's just, feels like most of the time he is sort of perfect with it. And that ball on Saturday is just like the best pass I've ever seen.
Yeah, it is a ridiculous pass, isn't it? And obviously, if that pass gets played in the Premier League, then it's on. You know, it's a cliche, isn't it? Oh, but
I'm surprised there hasn't been more mention. It's only been Albion fans talking about it, but I feel like that's usually one of them that gets like picked up by.
Yeah, second tier pod, or sorry.
Yeah.
Look at this pass by Cedric Kipre.
He should be playing for Liverpool.
No. But yeah, it's a good finish by Wallace as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, obviously it kind of came out to a bit of a damp squib. Obviously we were pushing for it. And then I just remembered the best refereeing call of the game. Obviously we haven't mentioned the penalty, which was outside the box. But do you remember when Furlong kicked the ball and Ndidi kicked him, and Ndidi got the free kick?
Oh yeah, the box. Yeah.
Genuinely, I was in a nice Romanian pub playing darts with a beer, and I was editing it. I couldn't believe my eyes.
With all due respect to referees, I'm sure there are some good ones. But it does feel like every week there's an absolute stinker of a decision.
It is, though, isn't it? It is every week. And it's different referees as well.
Yeah.
Like, I remember back in the old days, it used to be like your dad used to hate this one referee. And you'd be like, Jesus, calm down. Do you know what I mean? But now it's like, it's every single referee. I think... I don't think I'd heard of this guy, Thomas Bramall.
I don't even know. I don't remember the names, to be honest.
Thomas Bramall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
have you seen all that with Forest and how they've got like Luton fans reffing Forest games, and now this weekend it's a Notts County fan reffing the Luton game.
The good old Premier League, mate. Can't wait for it.
Just useless organisation.
It's mental, isn't it? I mean, going into my personal thing here, I was at the Steaua Bucharest game over the weekend in Romania.
Yeah.
And you can't believe how good the refereeing is. Like the VAR, they've got VAR over there. It's like, it's done. One and done. There's no hurrah about it. There's nothing. The game's smooth. The ref's not calling stupid things. He's got control of the game. Do you know what I mean? And you think, like, no disrespect to Romanian football, but that how can the Romanian FA or whatever develop better referees than the English FA?
It's ridiculous. The amount of money involved as well. It's ridiculous.
I just don't get it.
Like the difference between the money you get in the Premier League and the money you get in the Championship, and a couple bad decisions can genuinely cost you I know it's a bit of a stretch, but say Derby, when they went up and now they've gone down and they've had all that with the money problems and that. If they'd have gone up, it'd have been completely different.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? They'd be in the Premier League and they'd have a platform to build on. A bad decision could rob you of that platform, and the same could happen to your club. And that's just mental to me.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the big example is the other way with our good old neighbours, Aston Villa, when they should have went down, but the goal line technology just failed. Obviously, I know that's not to do with referees.
Yeah, that's just it's a freak incident, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's your point, that's what we're playing with here.
Yeah.
And they've gone on, they're going to finish Champions League this season, whatever. Like that is all stemmed from that one moment. That's what that's the amount you're playing it's with when you talk about money and that.
It's like mental. People's jobs and that. And just
literally.
There's no form of accountability for the refs when they make the, especially in the Championship when no one sees them.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say that. There's no media, there's no spotlight at all. And I mean there's clearly no accountability. I mean, I can't remember who it was, but the one ref, who had a howler and he got put on fourth official duty in the same league. It was the Premier League. And you're like, I know.
What I find funny is when a ref has a few bad games in the Prem, so we'll just send him to the Championship.
Yeah. How is that? Imagine doing that with a player. Two bad games, mate. League One. Two games, back up. It's mental, man. I don't know. There's no... I mean, you could have a whole... I was going to say episode, but you could have a whole podcast about it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I don't think there's...
You could have a podcast going through refereeing mistakes each week through all four leagues.
I think that should be... Shall we double up here? Shall we double up? But it's... I mean, that... Just going back to that Leicester one. It's mental. It's actually insane. It felt like... It felt like the ball kind of went up. And it felt like the ref was kind of like looking at the ball. And then he went, oh, something happened there. And he just went, yeah, Leicester free kick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like absurd. I know it didn't matter, obviously. Would we have scored that free kick? Probably not. But it's just bonkers, man. It's nuts. It don't matter, does it? Don't matter. Who cares? It's only the championship, are you?
Yeah.
But yeah. That was the Leicester game. Obviously, we coulda, shoulda, woulda won the game. I always feel like you can, whenever you go to a team like Leicester, in the context of it, you come away with a loss. It's okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things.
It was the free hit out of the last three, wasn't it, really?
Yeah. Obviously, it's... The only reason it's wounding is because we played so well. And obviously, weirdly, that's what kind of... that's kind of the sweet part as well.
Yeah.
Because we did play well, and that's something to go forward. And I'm happy that we did play well. I wanted to talk to you about our striker situation, because I really liked how Jed played up front. Yeah. On his own. I thought he did really, really good job, to be honest.
Yeah.
And my personal opinion on it, as I've said many times on this podcast, Jed's position now is central.
Yeah.
I don't think he can play on the right. Putting him on the right, to me, would be like putting Madger on the right now.
Yeah.
It just, why would you do it? Do you know what I mean?
He just can't beat his man anymore, can he? He's lost that little bit of burst to beat his man and get the cross in, and that's what he just seems to hit the fullback with every cross, because he can't get the lock, he can't separate from him.
So
he's had some really good game central this season as well.
Yeah, that's why there was a period where I genuinely think we play better as a team when Jed is in the middle. Whether that's, obviously most of his games in the middle this season have been next to a striker, but I feel like it probably goes for up front as well. And obviously, I think I saw a tweet about, since BTA came back, we've been bad. And then he gets suspended and Jed plays up front and we're good. I don't think it's quite as easy as that. But
I feel like they're just, I mean, the way you got to look at them is it's like situational, isn't it? Against Sheffield, I'd go for Wallace up front because they play a high line. He can play off the shoulder and he's not going to have to hold the ball.
Yeah.
But even though he's not great at it and his touch can let him down, if there are games where you need to, you know, be able to take the ball into your feet, hold it, play it off, I'd much rather Thomas Asante, because although he's not great at it, I think he's a lot better than Jed.
Yeah, a lot better. I think Carlos said the exact sentiments when he was asked about why Wyman's not playing. And obviously against, was it Sunderland or Rotherham? Magic came on, didn't he?
Yeah. Rotherham.
And obviously Wyman was on the bench. And obviously, like, you are thinking, like, well, you imagine Wyman must have been thinking, like, you know, he's not even ready to come. He's not even ready to play. And he's getting a game ahead of me. Obviously, he said the exact same thing as what you just said in terms of horses for courses. Different scenarios, different games call for different players. Obviously, that's the beauty of actually having strikers, which we've kind of got a makeshift little striker unit at the moment. But I completely agree with you. I think Saturday is the game for Jed again. Like you said, high line, kind of it's going to be a bit of a basketball game, I feel like, just to, you know, kind of skip ahead a bit. And I feel like that's kind of his game, whereas, like, say, BTA, you kind of want him more dropping in. Although I do think, you know, him getting in behind, I would like to see it a bit more.
I think he looks like he's injured. Thomas Asante, like, he just looks slower. Like, when he first joined, I felt like he was rapid. Yeah. And now he looks like... Yeah, just
he looks... Maybe a week off has done him a bit of good, then.
Yeah, because obviously, I don't know the exact numbers, but bar, like, say, Palmer, Kipre, Bartley, I'd imagine he's played the most minutes in the squad this season.
Yeah.
Because he had a run where he had to play every minute of every game.
Yeah. I'd say from the start of last season, obviously when he joined, I'd say he's probably carried the biggest workload.
Yeah.
Because, like, Yakushlu gets his rests and Malumbi got his rests and Mowat has only played this season. And then everything else has just kind of changed a bit around him. And I'd probably say Wallace as well seems to play like every game. But I feel like BTA, he's got a big weight on his shoulders. Obviously, being the leading man out of nowhere for like two seasons.
When he was,
you know what I mean?
Brought in to probably learn off DK.
Yeah. It's.
He has a really tough job as well. Because he's expected to drop deep, he's expected to contest headers with the centre backs. It's like. He's almost expected to be like a complete forward and he has to do everything, but he just isn't. Like, he never, he was like a bit of a ratty box striker at Salford and he'd get onto a few balls over the top, but that's what he was. And now he's expected to play as a false nine, a poacher, and he has to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel a bit for him. Obviously, I can. You know, I think you got to concede he's not the best striker, but I feel like it's moot. It's stupid saying that because he's not meant to be. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of stupid. But definitely keep Wallace in. And I feel like you got to go forward with him as a striker in mind or as a kind of like 10 false 90 type.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be the way forward. Obviously, we might need it. Obviously, like with DK... being out till near the end of the year again, I think. And Maja getting back up to it, you know, wherever we are next season.
Yeah.
I think, especially in the Championship, you need three strikers. Mm. And obviously, Jed will be in the squad anyway because he's captain and he can play on the right, blah, blah, blah. So it's useful that he's found that position, I think.
Yeah.
I really do.
I've still decided in my head that Madge is scoring a winner in the playoff final. He's coming off the bench. And he's scoring. It's going to be great.
I hope so. It's going to be, that would be.
And then he'll leave in the summer and it'll be the only goal he scores for us. Unless he's already scored.
He's already scored. Scored against
I remember that now, actually.
Hope so, mate. Hope so. I think it's an interesting kind of debate to have. Obviously, the debate always rages because BTA's become public enemy number one and, you know, all that. And obviously, Madge is coming back as well. So, let's move on, man, to big game, I feel like. Pretty big game.
Yeah.
Against Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday. I feel like... I don't feel like it's like must win.
Yeah.
But
I think it's very winnable.
Yeah, it's winnable. It's winnable. I think, like I was just saying, I think it's going to be a bit of a basketball game. Sheffield Wednesday, obviously, Roll is a fairly positive manager. I don't think he's like, you know, Jurgen Klopp or nothing.
No.
You know what I mean? Full gig and press. But he's a positive manager and they need a result.
Yeah. I think the main thing I noticed when I was watching is they're sensible. They don't try and play like outside of themselves. Their keeper can kick a ball like 80 yards as well off a goal kick, which isn't fun. And I can imagine Beadle. He can't do anything under pressure, but on a goal kick, that ball flies.
He's 19.
I know, but like,
what the hell?
He's
just got a launch on him.
Yeah, I've rewatched Sheffield Wednesday versus Leeds today.
Yeah,
and my notes go 5-4-1 block, mixed distribution off goal kick. Beadle can kick the ball 70 yards.
Right, Bartley will love that then.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's mental.
It's a good attribute to have, I think, as a keeper, because you can kick it that far up and you've got a big fella. I think Ugbo, the biggest.
But he's strong.
He's a strong fella. It's like, when we used to, under Pulis, Foster used to knock it to Dawson.
Yeah.
And Dawson used to win every header. Like, I feel like that's such an underrated, like, getting the ball forward and winning it.
Yeah.
It's like an underrated bit of football now.
Yeah. I don't see it often.
So you can get it, like, into their third from a goal kick.
Yeah.
And kind of try and keep it alive. It's a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think they'll come after us.
Yeah, that's what I mean about it being a basketball game.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll want to make it into that because it's not Carlos's style, is it? But I think they'll force our hand and I think they'll let up a lot of counter opportunities.
Yeah. But I think what's worrying for me is if it is that sort of basketball, which the game against Leeds was, it was just, ball back and forward. But the worrying thing for me is if we are adamant about trying to control the game and we spend the whole game trying to control it instead of trying to create chances, which we have been guilty of in these games before.
See, I feel like we're past that.
Yeah.
I do a bit. Obviously, Carlos has got it in him. But that it reminds me of the Saints game yesterday against Leicester. And that's what Saints were trying to do.
Yeah.
And they had so many counter opportunities. And there was just, let's pass it backwards. And you're like, oh, it's not nice football.
No.
But that's what I like about if you play the Wallace up front. Even if you play that kind of three in the middle again.
Yeah.
And just leave the front three as they are. Try and exploit the counter.
Yeah, because they do give up space. And their defenders get really tight. And Lee's goal in that game actually came from a defender getting tight. Because their left wing back isn't a left wing. He's a winger. He's always been a winger his whole career. So he has tendency to switch off a bit and let a runner in behind him. And I think we might be able to get something out of that. Maybe with fellows running off. But obviously, that means you've got to at least win the second ball and get him through. But I think give it enough chances and we would.
It's interesting. It's interesting because, like I just said about the kind of starting three in the middle, I'm just thinking, could you play Swift in there?
Yeah.
For that link up.
I think I'd go Dean Garner in the middle against these.
So would I, mate.
Because obviously Dean Garner is not as good as Rutter, but they're the same sort of mould when they're playing the middle, aren't they? Strong ball carriers who want to sort of play a pass through, and they just couldn't deal with him. They couldn't deal with his shot. And Dean, I don't care what anyone says now, especially, Dean Garner is not lightweight. He holds off tackles and drives with the ball, and I don't think you can argue that now.
No, it is. I think a big thing out of the Leicester game, the first half, Dean Garner's playing pretty much on the right. I wouldn't say touchline kind of thing. Yeah. And he wasn't in the game at all. But then second half, comes inside a little bit and it feels like he runs the show.
Yeah.
It really does. Second half, it felt like everything was going through him.
Yeah.
Generally I would just play Dean Garner through the middle, absolutely. Just thinking, like you say, with that, with Swift, and I mean, it's a big thing for me to say these kind of things, you know what I mean? But I'm just thinking with Swift, you've kind of got that, he's got the ability to make those two-touch passes around the break. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And as well, there'll be points in the game where we're up against, like, a 5-4-1 block pretty much camped on, like, the edge of their box. And although Swift hasn't shown it much at Albion, he is sort of the type of player you want in that situation to come up with something to break it down. Whether he actually applies that is different. But he is probably, bar Kipre, our most creative passer.
Yeah. I think on the base of it is, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Obviously, the big conversation that I've had many times about all that jazz. But like, I quite liked how Swift came on against Leicester in that kind of deeper, not deeper, but he was in the two, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And it felt like he had a little bit more influence about the game. And he was a bit, he just had a bit more of a say. And I'd be interested if, say, we played Yakushlu holding with Mowat and Swift in front of him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rather than the two and then Swift ahead of him. I don't know. But then you're playing with it a bit too much, ain't you, I think?
Yeah, and I think as well, the most important thing against Sheffield, like, obviously, I only watched one game. They might play completely different against every different team and I'll sound like an idiot, but I don't think that is what happens. I think they sort of come with a plan, you know, they'll adapt for team strengths and that, but they have their model of play and they stick with it.
Yeah.
And so what they do is they'll start defending high in a 5-3-2 and their left winger will tuck into midfield and their right winger will be part of the front two. So if you can build up down the right and then quickly move the ball from right to the left side of the pitch across midfield, that's how you're going to get isolated up against their fullbacks instead of having the 2v1. So I think for that, since Dean Garner come into the team, that's what he was doing best, wasn't he? He was taking the ball in midfield off Fellows and getting it into Johnston. And I think that's what we need to do.
Yeah, see, that gets me excited, that does. That kind of talk, mate. Gets me excited, man. Because that I feel like there's so much potential, just like outside of, you know, the context of certain games, like for Fellows, Grady and Johnston as a front three behind the striker.
Yeah.
I feel like it's such a good front three that complement each other so well.
Yeah.
The only issue you've got is the lack of kind of defensive support, because Fellows doesn't do it very well. I'd say out of naivety about him being young and inexperienced.
Yeah.
And then Johnston is probably a lacking part of his game. But I mean, going forward.
Yeah, I don't think we need that much defensively though against these. All their chances come from winning the ball, like sort of in midfield and then going through and breaking quickly, and your wingers aren't there to deal with people breaking quickly. Like, they'll come back, but I mean, they never looked like breaking down the block, really.
Yeah. See, I feel like that's what we're kind of good at, setting up that block.
Yeah.
And saying you're not going to get past us. But then we've become a pretty good transitional team. Not like amazing. But I think it's something that we've got better at.
Yeah, 100%. For
sure, which is good. But yeah, I mean, you look at their team, they've got a weird team, and they obviously that's why they're down there. Ugbo's done well for a minute. I think a big miss for them is going to be Pervader, isn't it?
Is he injured?
Yeah, he's out for the season now.
Oh yeah.
Obviously he came and he was very good for him, wasn't he, I think.
Yeah, I remember because obviously he's on loan from Leeds and he couldn't play against Leeds, obviously, because he's on loan and you can't play against your parent club. So he didn't play in that game, and you could tell that they looked like they were without something. But I mean, they're low on quality.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, you're looking through their team. I mean, they're not meant to have quality. That's why they're down there, do you know what I mean? But it's just like Bannon. And then Ugbo's a half decent striker. Masaba is the fella, he's on loan from PSG, isn't it? Or they got him from PSG.
I think that's Gassama.
Kasama,
got,
yeah.
Yeah, they've got two little wingers.
And then, I mean, they're back three. Palmer, I don't know if he has been playing centre-half this season. Ihiwekwe.
The game I watched, Palmer was playing in midfield.
Yeah, I just saw that. I was looking through some of their old games in midfield. That's random. Obviously, that's Danny Roll. Yeah. Maybe one of the best managers the Championship's ever seen. So, yeah, I mean, you look at that team, taking the context out of it, we should be pummeling them, to be honest. It's never the way.
The best player is meant to be Barry Bannon, and yeah. I don't get him. Yeah. I think he was all right a few years ago, but I mean, he's guaranteed to score now. I've said that, but I really don't get him.
I think the thing with Bannon was, like you say, he was good a few years ago, and then his decline physically kind of aligned with Sheffield Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So then he went to League One with them, and he was like the best player in League One. Because his physical decline didn't matter as much, and his technical quality shown through. And then obviously he's done well this season, you know, 7.1 on FootMob, whatever that means. You know what I mean, I'm not judging people off that. But yeah, I mean, I know what you mean in terms of influence on the game.
Yeah, because like, obviously it's not what football's all about, but for a player who, now he plays in part of a double pivot, so it's a bit different, but he's always meant to be an attack-minded midfielder. But he's playing in a midfield too. He doesn't really make any tackles. He's rubbish in the air, and he's not creating chances. So I just don't get it. If he's just there to move the ball from A to B, then fair enough, but then you've got to be winning the ball back as well, and he doesn't.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think it's his technical ability in it that kind of that carries him through.
Yeah.
But like you say, he's not like a chance creator, is he?
No, he's one assist all season.
One assist.
I mean, they don't score many goals, but
yeah, he's made 57 chances.
I mean,
he's all green on FootMob. You know, Ballon d'Or. I think he is obviously a decent player, isn't he?
Yeah, it's just like, but obviously rewatching that game, I actually had Bannon's side of midfield looks weaker because he doesn't seem to screen the passes well, like just getting in front of people. Obviously, don't make tackles. He's really small.
Well, no need for that, mate. Apologies to the small kings listening.
I'm 5'7", so I can say it. Yeah, it seemed like he was out of position all the time, and that Palmer was having to cover for him.
It feels a little bit like when Brunt was in midfield for us.
Yeah.
Under Big Dave and the Champ. And you're kind of like carrying him because of you're carrying his physical deficiencies because he's a really good passer. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's probably similar to that. Yeah. But I think naturally you've got to kind of focus on that side.
Yeah.
Try and run at him as well.
Yeah, that's another reason I wanted Dean Garner to play, because he always seems to like drift to the right side, which is obviously Bannon's left, and he'll pick up a spot where Bannon's out of position, and he'll be able to receive the ball and turn and drive.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, with what we've said, I'd probably say just go with the 4-2-3-1 standard.
Yeah,
and it picks itself. Then I'd probably put Wallace up front, like we've said, and Dean Garner through the middle. I don't think he likes playing Fellows and Johnston together.
No, I don't. I think when they were both playing so well, but one was coming off the bench, it was like he was sort of forced to, weren't he? Because you can't not reward players for playing as well as Fellows and Johnston were, but he definitely doesn't want to.
No. It's like any chance he has to not do it.
Yeah.
But then if he does play Wallace up front, you ain't got much choice, have you, unless you chuck Phillips out there, which, I mean, I'd be very surprised if he did that.
Yeah.
Or Wyman on the left. and you take Jansen out, put Fellows in, which again, I'll be very surprised if that happened, to be honest. But yeah, it's funny. I'm just looking at our results. Obviously, we've won one game out of our last six. And when we was unbeaten in 10 games, it felt a lot worse than this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really weird. It's because of the performances, isn't it? I think if we can go to Sheffield Wednesday and put in a good performance again, we will win.
Yeah.
Because Sheffield Wednesday are a much worse team than Leicester, obviously.
Yeah. I think my only worry for that game is that Masaba is like a really good technical winger, and so is Gassama if he plays. And obviously we've seen Townsend get absolutely ripped to shreds by a good technical winger. I mean, he hasn't got the end product Fatawu does, but still, you get past a player enough times, one of the balls is going to land to someone.
Yeah.
So I think that's my only worry. But outside of that, I think we should be. It should be a routine win.
But you should.
Obviously, they never are.
No way, mate. Never is. We do support West Bromwich Albion. Yeah. So, but yeah, hopefully, next time we speak, we will be a playoff team.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and Blues will be down and all that. Just another shout out, mate. It's a big game for Blues.
Huddersfield, isn't it?
Huddersfield, do or die game. Like, winner takes all, Royal Rumble.
See if they go bust after buying that 18 billion stadium.
So you'd hate to see that. I'd hate to see that. Just always like to see Blues do well, I do.
Have you seen Deion Sanderson's been done for drunk driving?
Yeah.
Exactly what you need when you're captain in relegation battle.
Fuck it. Yeah, that bloke should put that picture up on Twitter again. Hopefully we have a good weekend. Obviously, I'm going to this game. This is my sixth away game of the season, and I'm currently on 4 losses and 1 draw. So
thanks.
It's not my fault, man. It's not my fault. Hopefully, bring on the goods, man.
In your defence, we did seem to like lose every away game at one point. So
exactly, not my fault. I need to get some form going into the playoffs. Do you know what I mean? Get the ball rolling, man. But yeah, we'll call it a day, mate.
Yep.
Good chat, man. Good chat. And yeah, like I say, fingers crossed, man. We have a good weekend, and we can relax a bit.
Yeah.
Next weekend, please.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on edge every time I talk about football.
Yeah, butterflies, man. Little. I don't get nervous. But yeah, I'll speak to you next week, mate.
Speak to you next week.
Cheers, man.
Thanks for having me on.